Okay. So this sugya is very different, if you gathered at this point, from the sugya we did before. At least temporarily, we are out of Avodah Zarah topics, meaning things that relate to idolatry. But it's a very important sugya, because as you've seen, the question that we're really trying to answer here is, why is psak binding? Right? I mean, that's really what's going on. Right? The Gemara is asking, why is it, when I go ask a shayla, that's meaningful? Because really, it shouldn't be. Right? Really, asking a shayla should not be meaningful. Why? Good. Right, now that I've thrown you off your game. Asking Max, why should asking a shayla not be a meaningful thing to do?
Because questions are a common occurrence.
No, so, yeah, but they're meaningful when you ask a question. Why shouldn't it matter? Or let me put it differently. The Gemara puts some sort of limitation on somebody after you've asked a shayla, right? Why does that make no sense? No, but this is the same question.
Oh, there's different ways to pass in a different case.
Well, that's why that's going to be part of the answer. But at first glance, right, a lot of people don't like this Gemara. Right, don't like this Gemara because they view psak as what?
Binding.
Finding?
Binding.
Why is it binding?
Because one person said it.
So that's not how most people view it, right? No. Most people, when they ask a shayla, I think, or at least many people,
whatever the Rav says.
And why do they listen to what the Rav says?
Because they trust the Rav.
They trust him.
More than that, there's a key word.
Because they don't know.
And they assume
that he does.
That he does, and he knows what?
He knows
halacha.
Oh, well,
the halacha. The right answer.
There's multiple halachas.
Well, that's the problem, right? Is that this Gemara doesn't sit well if you think that there is one answer to every halachic question.
Right.
Because if there is one answer to any halachic question,
you should never have to go ask someone else.
Then you shouldn't have to ask someone else, but what if you did?
It doesn't matter.
It shouldn't matter because either everyone's giving the same answer, or even if there's a machlokes, if you believe that halacha thinks there's only one answer,
that doesn't matter if you get different.
Then you should ask as many people, and this is what we already saw in Tosfos, right, that you should do what? Misvara, what you should do is ask everybody to get the best answer. I mean, the fact that there's any limitation.
You're choosing your halachas.
No. That's only picking and choosing your halacha if you don't assume there's one halacha. Right?
No, but that's why you're looking for multiple answers, because you know there's multiple answers. You want the answer that you want.
But that, what I want you to realize is that's the assumption behind the entire Gemara. Right? Meaning, the Gemara is assuming, right? The Gemara never even stated it. The Gemara is assuming that there's a possibility of more than one legitimate answer.
Right.
Because if it didn't, the sugya makes no sense.
Right, but if you're going to search for the halacha that you want, then why search in the first place? Because you're just going to possibly...
No, so... This is a one-directional nafkamina, right? You can assume that there's multiple answers,
right?
And say it's legitimate to shop around, or say it's illegitimate to shop around. Right. But you can't say that there's only one legitimate answer, and that it's illegitimate for me to look for multiple people to get the best opinion, just like by medicine,
right?
If we assume that there's one best treatment,
right?
Let's assume that for a moment, right? Then every smart person gets a second opinion. Why? The assumption is there's one right answer,
right?
And I'm going to ask as many people as I can to figure out which answer that probably is.
Right.
But when you say you're not allowed to ask for a second opinion, what is that telling you? What is that?
There's only one answer.
Right. That means that, right? It sort of implies there isn't one possible legitimate answer because you're not just looking for that one answer.
There is that it's one answer for you.
That's not one answer. There's not the same thing. I agree with you. There's one answer for you, and that's what the Ritva is going to say.
Yeah, like I don't. Find
that's true, but we haven't. But if there was only one answer, not for you, one answer, period.
For everybody.
Yeah, like there was only one answer.
As if it was a d'oraita, right.
No, we're talking about d'oraitas.
Wait, is d'oraita?
Yes.
Yosef.
Yes. You know, if there was one answer, meaning like lidugma, right? Mm-hmm. Let's take something. Take anything else in life. I don't know.
What the fuck?
Take a mathematical one, right? Right, mathematical question. There is only one right answer. 2 + 2 is always 4.
Right.
Right? So, it shouldn't be damaging to ask more than one mathematician if 2 + 2 is 4, because There's only one answer. It doesn't matter how many people you ask, right? That's the answer you expect. It's not like it's dangerous to ask more than one person because you have no expectation of different answers, right? And so you're going to ask multiple people. All you're going to do is going to reinforce the first right answer.
Right, okay.
But the fact that in halacha we tell you you're not allowed to ask somebody else already implies... Right, that you're not looking for the one answer because you're looking for the one answer as this is Tosas's question, right? Before we go to the Zugibi, you see Tosas. This is Tosas's problem, right? That's exactly what Tosas assumes, that halacha should be like
one
answer, like medicine. Really, that's really what he's thinking.
Medicine,
right?
Not even medicine. Maybe it's one solution.
Well, that's essentially what he's saying, right? It's the type of thing that there's one best answer, and you get multiple opinions. Right? The fact that halacha doesn't believe that about itself indicates, right, that psak isn't just giving the one answer. Right? So that's why this sugya is really important. Right? It's not just important like because we're learning about the Zara.
One rabbi paskin mutter and one paskin.
Okay, fine.
So it's obviously not that there's more than one. That
as the Ron says in his drasha, let's say the two doctors, one said something's poisonous and one said it's not, and it is poisonous.
Right.
How many right answers are to that question? One. The fact that more than one person offers an opinion doesn't mean there's more than one answer. It can mean that there's one answer and a bunch of mistakes. Halacha doesn't seem to believe that because it's telling you can't look for a second opinion.
I don't think a rabbi is postulating a mistake. Like, I think he knows halacha and he's...
That's not what Tosa says. That's not what Mara says.
The rabbi made a mistake.
There are such things as mistakes. Right? That's exactly the issue here, is that there are things which are mistakes, there are things which are not mistakes, and then there's... Right? The Gemara's question is trying to figure out what is this thing we call psak. That's essentially what the Gemara is doing.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Right?
So it makes sense. So basically...
Right, that's the whole point.
The fact that they say you shouldn't be going around asking other people means it might be you're getting more than one right answer.
Right. That seems to be the implication.
And then if you have more...
Right. Now there's another Gemara which we're not going to get into too much now, which is sort of the key to it, which is the Gemara in Erevin, which is Eilu Ve'ilu Dibrei Kol Chayim, right? Is there such a thing as multiple truths in halacha? Right? What does it mean that these and these, right, both are the word either of the God who is living or the living words of God or however you want to translate
Don't these different sects and what they follow that idea?
Not necessarily.
Multiple truths?
Not necessarily.
How so? I do a different thing compared to what Ashkenazim do.
You might just think that Ashkenazim are wrong.
You're wrong.
Huh?
You might just think that Ashkenazim are wrong.
I don't think they're wrong. It's how they're doing it.
No, that's only if you believe in multiple truths. If you don't believe in multiple truths, then you think that half the people are getting it right and half them are getting it wrong.
Okay.
And there are many people who said that. Well, Moshe Feinstein says that straight up.
Well, there's truth behind the idea of Kenyot for Ashkenazim.
The Ron says that straight up. Right? The Ron says that explicitly. There is only one right answer. And if you get it wrong, even if it's not your fault, like you asked your rabbi, he said it was mutter, and he was wrong, your soul will suffer.
Hashem helps the fools.
No, the Ron says it is like drinking poison. It's like drinking poison where the doctor tells you to drink poison and you thinking it's healthy. The Ron says, too bad, you will die.
No, I'm not admitting I'm wrong.
So not everyone agrees with what you just said. But that's what I want to get to. Okay, guys, so let's look at the Gemara. Okay, let's try to understand this Gemara. Shimon, why don't you read? Right, the story of the Gemara of Adizara.
Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learn, Anishal Lachachum Etema Lo Yishal Lachachum Yatar Vitar. One who goes to ask Chachum a question and he says that it's Tame Lo Yishal, shouldn't go to another one and say that it's Tar. Lachachum Vasir Lo Yishal Lachachum Yatir. If he goes to one and he says Sasser, then he shouldn't go to another and then get it, someone is going to say it's Mutar. Hayu Shnaim, there are two, Echad Mitame, Echad Matar, Echad Osir, Echad Matir, Imai Echad Mayam Gadol Mechaber, Bachachum of Minyan, Halachacharav. The imlav halach acher amachner. So if he's standing before two guys at once, two chacham at once, and one says it's tame, one says tar, one says zas, or one says mutter, he should go after if there's one that's better in chacham or minyan. He should go after
a minyan. Is not clear what it means. It could mean age. Right. It could mean how many rabbis rely on him. It's machlokes rambam raivin in adios.
Halach acherav, you should go after him. The imlav, but if they're on equal level. Whoever's more machmir is one you should go after.
Good.
Rabbi Yeshua ben Karchomer, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, "B'shal Tara halach acher amamchir, b'shal sofrim halach acher amekel." So that's basically the
Rabbi Daraisa.
You go machmir.
Okay.
So
let's just focus on the first few lines, right? Hanisha lachacham v'timi lachacham v'itayr. Right. If you ask a shayla, so then what does it say? Lo yish'al lechacham. So first of all, the simple implication of the Gemara is, who is the Isser, whatever this Isser is, right, who is it on?
The asker.
Right? The asker. Right? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah seems to clearly say, when you ask a Shaila,
it's on you to tell.
It's you to not ask somebody else. Right?
You
we'll see.
To not ask or you to tell?
You not ask. That's Tosfos. No, that's Tosfos. The Gemara, just the Gemara. You're jumping to Tosfos. Just the Gemara, all we know is that whatever exactly this prohibition is, it limits who the Shoel, I mean, who the person asking a Shaila is allowed to ask. Okay?
Right.
What's the other thing? What's common to all the examples the Gemara gives? Chacham echad she'asar, you can't ask to be matir. Chacham echad she'timei, you can't ask to be matahir. What's common to those?
Strict to lenient.
Correct. You can't go strict to lenient. Right? Now, that leads to two fundamental questions that we show in the Achronim.
Can you go
lenient right?
to strict?
Is, correct. Is one, is this halacha two-directional?
Oh, so you
right? Or is it only that I can't go kula hopping?
Right.
Right? Meaning, is the Gemara saying I can't go kula hopping? Or is the Gemara saying I can't even go humra hopping? Right? Which is not... was not historically a thing, but now it is a thing. Right? Qumrah hopping. Yes.
More
yes.
Strict. What are
yes.
Qumrah and Jula in the terms of...
See, Donnie will appreciate this. That Donnie, not this Donnie.
It's like
we'll appreciate
hours,
this more.
3 hours to 6 hours.
Right, like Ray Willig said, right, he was shocked. Traditional halachic literature, you open it up, it says, this is the halacha, or the main halacha, or the whatever, and if you need to be mekel, yesh lahakel, right? There's room to be lenient. Bidochak, right? It's hard to be mekel, but if you really push it, if there's real reason, you can be mekel, right? That's traditional halachic literature, because normally people want a kula, they don't want a chumrah. Ray Willig likes bringing in svarim, then modern, like 20th and 21st century svarim will say, bidochak yesh lahachmir, right? That if you really want to, you could come up with a chumrah, right? But there are people who want that, right? They don't want to hear that something is mutter, right? Is that okay? Now we're going to see. Most poskim are going to assume that of course you can get a chumrah. You want a chumrah, but the Ritva himself, as we'll see, the Ritva doesn't say that. The Ritva is very clear. This is both directional. You cannot, right? Once you've got a kula, you cannot go for a chumrah, right? It goes both directions. So, but we'll see. Right, we'll see, but we'll get to that. Okay, but the first thing we know from our sugya,
they're arguing off of different things. Then it kind of sounds like it a little bit.
Who's arguing?
The Ritva.
We're gonna get to it, but just keep that in mind. Right, the first thing you're gonna notice about the Gemara is that one, the prohibition is about the shoel, or the one asking the shaila, and the second is that the Gemara only explicitly addresses the issue of chumra dekula, right? Chumra dekula. So with the two questions we have to ask is it true that the Isser is limited to the Shoel? Right? And what is the nature of the Isser? And two, right, depending on the nature of the Isser, does it make sense to limit it to the explicit cases of the Gemara, I mean Chumra Dekula, or the other way around? Okay? That's Gemara number one. The second Gemara Nida, what happens in the Gemara Nida? What's the background?
It's on the...
She has a...
Who's she?
This lady...
What's her name?
Oh...
Yalta. Right, Yalta.
Her
right,
name
so
was Yalta.
Yes, her name was Yalta. Yes. Yes. So Yalta.
Wife of Rabbi Nachman.
Is the wife of Rabbi Nachman. Good. So what does she have? What happens in Guarnida?
She sees something.
She has her bidikah cloth checked by her.
Good. She has a Nida question, right? A bidikah cloth, something like that. A stain, who knows? Probably a bidikah cloth, right? That's normally what we're talking about, at least in that context, right? And so what does she want to do? She asks one rabbi, and he says, Usser. She goes to a second rabbi, and he says, Mutter. So the Gemara says, how can she do that? Right?
The first rabbi had asked.
How can it be? No, so what does the Gemara say? Right, what's the Lashon on the Gemara? You have it?
No.
Did I bring it for myself? I printed it, so I would shortcut it. Right? So what does the Gemara say? Right, in Nida. Well, the Gemara says there shouldn't be Mutter. Why not?
It shouldn't be mutter?
Right? It shouldn't be... No, I have it. It's
oh, because
fine.
You can't
it.
Go from... Because
you can't... one rabbi can't pass it over.
Good.
Rabbi.
So the Gemara says, how could it be? The rabbi shouldn't have done that.
The decrees
so,
of the rabbi.
Good. So already, according to the Gemara Nida, simple read of the Gemara, what's the problem? For who? Shoel or Nishal? Nishal. Good. Then the Gemara explains it and says, this case was different.
Right.
Rabbi number two was allowed to paskin. Why?
First rabbi had actions.
Because the two things... No, there's two parts to it. Oh. That the first rabbi, that Yalta said, every time I've had a Charlotte like this in the past, what happened?
I always go to
this. Okay. That same rabbi, the first rabbi said it was.
Okay.
Fine.
Now he had something with his eyes.
Correct. So once he knew that this was an exceptional circumstance, there was reason to believe that Rabbi Baruch Hanna made a mistake.
Right.
Because he was having an eye issue that day. He looked at it and said, oh, given, right, this color is yellow, mm-hmm. right, it's not red, right, it's obviously fine, right? Again, we talked about this yesterday, but, right.
It said
there
he had
are shalas. What?
It said
no,
he had
chashbeine. It hurt. It could be anything.
Oh, okay. I thought
it could be sick. It could be ashes. It could be anything. Chashbeine. Something was in his eye.
It pink eye.
Whatever he has, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Right? Okay. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the simple shot is that the prohibition is on
the rabbi.
The shoel. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah.
Oh, right.
Gemara Nida, the second Gemara focuses on the chacham. Good. So now we have both of these Gemaras. Now, what is the relationship between them? There's two possibilities. Right? Good. Tosas in the two Masechlot raises both possibilities. How do you deal with both Gemaras? There's two very simple ways of doing this methodologically, which is either, right, in the two Tosas, do both of them. Right? Either you can.
Combine.
How do you combine them?
By saying she has to tell the rabbi that I asked another rabbi, and the rabbi can't possibly know.
Good, right. So one answer in Tosfos, which Tosfos is this, says the answer is very simple. There are two Isurim.
Right.
Right. There's an Isur on the Shoel, and there's an Isur on the Nishal. They're both, right, it's both Usur. Good. Now let's divide. So Tosfos in Avodah Zarah take this position, right? Now, Tosfos says, right, Tosfos starts off, and what's his problem? He doesn't like the whole Isser at all. Why not?
He doesn't like the whole Isser.
He doesn't understand the whole Gemara.
They should.
Right, now the Gemara, remember, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is done with which Isser?
The lady.
The Asker.
The Shoel, the Asker, correct. So Tosfos is a problem. He doesn't understand the Isser on the Asker. Why not?
Doesn't understand.
He doesn't know why it does it, right? He starts off.
Wouldn't it be better if he goes to Nimrod?
Good. What is Tosfos assuming in his question?
Assuming in his question.
What is the assumption in his question? There's only one right answer, right? Very explicitly. Right? I mean, Tosfos' question in Avodah Zarah Zayin Amud Aleph is, I don't understand. Leave aside the Gemara on Daf Chaf and Nida. He says, the first Isser that you're not allowed to ask two people, Tosfos says it makes no sense. Why?
Because there's only one answer.
It implies, it assumes there's only one answer. And he says, right, when there's a question that you want to know the best, get the best advice, what do you always do?
You ask multiple people.
You ask multiple people.
Tosfos is saying that he doesn't like this one.
Ah, so what is Tosfos' answer? So what is Tosfos' answer? You said it before. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah says it must be that we're misunderstanding the Isser.
Right.
The Isser isn't to ask a second time, what is it?
It's to not say that you asked another
time. Correct. It's to ask a second time.
Without saying that you asked the first
time. Correct. Right, without telling the second rabbi.
Right.
Right now, but think about it. Right? And again, I'm telling you, this sugya is one of the most important sugyas you'll ever learn. Right? What is Tosfos telling you? How does he conceive of the nature of halacha?
That there's multiple
truths or one?
Multiple truths.
No.
The ending, there's
no. Be careful.
He wanted to be.
He said you could ask multiple rabbis, though, if you tell.
No, he.
Yeah. And therefore, what is he saying? Why is it also to tell the second rabbi? Ask the second rabbi.
Because the first rabbi.
Because it implies that there are more answers.
No, that's not what he says. This is careful. In his question, he clearly assumes there's only one right answer. In his answer, where he says that the Isser on the Shoel is to do what?
To ask a second person without telling him.
So what's he telling you? Is he assuming there's one right answer or multiple?
There's one correct answer.
No, he still thinks there's one answer.
Why?
And therefore he says, correct. No, but why? Because he says, what's the problem? The problem isn't to ask again.
Right.
The problem is?
To not tell that you...
Yeah, the problem is being deceptive. Right? Meaning, Tosfos...
You ask your dad, can I have $5 for a game? Like, no. But ask your mom then again.
Right, meaning... That's a good example. One second. That's a good example. I mean, what is Tosfos saying? Tosfos is saying, if I ask my father for $5 and he says no, so if I go to my mother and I say, give me $5,
right?
So that's wrong. I'm trying to go around my father. But if I go to my mother and say, look, Dad said I can't have $5. Papa, whatever you call him, Abba, Tati, said I can't have $5, right? Can't, what do you say?
Mm-hmm. mama to
right?
know again.
No, so the mother might say no, or she might say...
Yes.
She wow. might say, no, dad said no because he only carried around his credit cards.
Right?
Right? We're not short on cash, but he just doesn't have it.
That was the
well, we're not in the Tosa Zanita.
But that's what you're saying.
We're in Tosa Zanita with the Zara. Wait.
Right, but you're
wait. Tosa Zanita with Zara says that the problem on the Shoel is what?
Not saying that you asked the first.
Correct, which is that fundamentally he thinks what? That there shouldn't be, right? His question was.
But there's no isser to ask a second time, though, which implies there could be multiple answers.
No! Because what does he continue? No. Because what does he continue?
Wrong.
No! Because then he says, why?
You're making it what? Interesting.
Why is it?
And he said, but the second rabbi shouldn't do what?
Go over the first rabbi.
Overrule the first.
Overrule the first. Right.
Right. Unless what?
Unless they consult
him beforehand.
No. He tries to get him to
like he understands his ruling. He understands the previous rabbi's ruling.
No, he says try to get him to come.
Isn't that
see
what
you have to why it's
the
other?
Yeah, and what does that mean?
That there's there's only one answer.
The one answer, right? You have to be very careful. Tosa says the problem is being deceptive.
Uh-huh.
Right. But if you want to ask a second opinion, and the second rabbi is going to talk to the first rabbi,
right.
It's fine.
So he says it's fine because Tosa clearly thinks that how many right answers are there?
One.
The only possible problem for someone to look for a second opinion is if you're being dishonest,
right?
But if you're being honest, it's fine. And why? Because what will happen?
The rabbis will consult
and get to one answer. Bidiyuk. Right? That because this is what's important is that Tosfos at his core is assuming. He's not even telling you this. But Tosfos assumes that there's one right answer and therefore he can't accept that it's wrong to get multiple opinions because you always ask for multiple opinions if you're looking for the best answer.
Eventually they're going to all get to the same.
Correct. Because Tosfos said you can ask a second one as long as you're honest because if you're honest...
Right.
Then he'll consult
you
with the original rabbi. You did your part, you weren't deceptive. And the second rabbi will consult with the first rabbi.
Right.
And they'll come to, hopefully, the right answer.
Also, originally I thought that this Tosfos was, not really saying what the... No, that... So this Tosfos gets along with the...
Tosfos also says, in the second half, is there also a problem on the Rav, or is it only a problem on the Shoa? What does Tosfos say?
Sounds like it's on the Rav also.
Correct! Tosfos in Nida, Nevadizar very clearly thinks, right? There's two Isurim, one on the rabbi,
and
one on the guy, but for both of them, what is it for Tosfos? An issue of?
Getting a second hug.
Why is it a problem for Tosfos both ways?
Why is it a problem?
Yeah, why can't. Why is a shoel not allowed to go around the rabbi's back and get a second opinion? And why can't the rabbi go around the back of the first rabbi and also over a different talk without discussing it? Perfect. Tosfos says, seems to hold that the isser at hand
which
is respect.
Say that?
What?
Which Tosfos
say that? This is about Zara. Okay.
No,
right?
Well, where did he say it has anything to do with respect?
No, he doesn't say respect. Right, he doesn't say it, but the easiest explanation, I think, is respect. And who says respect explicitly?
Laron
and Rashi.
Rashi
and Nida.
Right.
Rashi and Nida's issue is kavod.
Right.
Right? So now, just the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, right? Well, look how all the questions have now, are all interconnected and they all shape up.
Right.
Tosfos says, the Gemara in Nida says the isser is on the asker.
Right.
Sorry, in Avodah Zarah, so the problem's on the answer. The Gemara in Nida says the problem is on the
rabbi.
But Tosfos, who I'm suggesting thinks there's only one halachic truth, says, wait, if there's only one possible halachic truth, then why shouldn't you be able to ask another guy?
Because they're all going to get to the...
So,
because it's respect. That's respect.
So I would assume he holds like Rashi, that the issue is respect. And therefore... The right thing to do is ask one rabbi, and if you're going
to
ask a second rabbi, at least tell him what's going on. And Tosa says, and the second rabbi, it's not that he's not allowed to paskin, he is allowed to paskin,
but
he has to ask the first rabbi, right? And therefore, there are two potential problems. They're both based on respect. The rabbi can't go around the around right behind the back of this first rabbi,
right.
And the shoel can't go around the back behind the back of the first rabbi. But as long as everything's above board and everyone's discussing it, right. So Tosa said, it's fine.
So
I mean, these are two isurim, both predicated on.
That doesn't answer our question. It's going from chumra to lineage.
Now according to Tosfos, would you say does it go mikula l'chumra mikhumra l'kula?
Well, there is only one answer.
So what? Yeah. So what would you say? What was your intuition?
Correct. Either way.
My intuition would be
right.
That tells me to say it doesn't matter.
If
there's one right answer, and the whole issue here is just that I'm being deceptive by going behind the rabbi's back,
right?
But I really want them to discuss to get the right answer. Then it should be true.
To go any direction.
Bein l'kula, bein l'chora. It's no less, right? It's no less disrespectful, right? If I say it's usser. Right? And you go to Ray Gansberg to try to get a kula, so that's without tummy, that's disrespectful. But if I say it's mutter and you say, ugh, you're not from enough for me, or I'm gonna ask somebody else until he tells me it's usser so that I can prove you're not from, right? That's also disrespectful.
Pretty disrespectful.
Right? Meaning, exactly. So if you hold like Rashi, right, who says that it's Mishum Kvodil Shorishon and the Ran in the conclusion, who says it's about Kavod. So then, it makes sense that first of all, there's two isurim, right? Both for the asker and for the answerer. And it makes sense that what's the solution? He's not saying you can never ask. You just have to do it.
You just have responsibility when you ask. Yeah.
Correct. You just have to be honest, right? You just have to be honest, right? And all of that comes together. Okay, good. Tosus in Nida. According to Tosus in Nida, how many different isurim are there?
Isurim?
Yeah.
Let me go grab. Can I go grab Gemara?
What?
I'm gonna go grab the Gemara.
Did you?
I don't have the sheet. Unless
it's fine.
You,
it's fine.
Use your sheet. Don't
right.
You have the
multiple,
sheet.
Yeah. Multiple.
Right.
Or
right. So Tosos. Right. Tosos first of all said in Nida. Right. So Tosos Navada Zara assumes there's two different Isurim. Mm-hmm. Right. Shoal and Ishal.
Right.
What about Tosos in Nida? You guys did Tosos Nida?
Yeah.
You did Tosos Nida. So according to Tosos Nida, good. How many Isurim does Tosos think there are?
One.
One. On who?
The rabbi.
The rabbi. Only the rabbi. Right?
But we just said it's not sure in the end.
No.
No, that's Tosos
and Avodah Zarah. No, different people. Remember, Tosos and Mesechta. Remember, Tosos and Mesechta is written by a different person. So the fact that it's Tosos in one place, Tosos in another place, doesn't mean there can't be a contradiction. Right? They're just different people. That's easy. So what does Tosos say in Nida? Mm-hmm. How many Surim are there?
One.
For who?
The rabbi.
The rabbi. Good. Right, so now so far we have.
Why would he make a judgment if he had already a bad eye? That's a better question.
Maybe he didn't realize. Maybe he was doing his best. Maybe he thought there wasn't someone else around to ask the Shaila, so he might as well do his best. Maybe she traveled to another city and there really was no one in the first city who could answer besides Ram.
It's a cash on the mice.
It's a cash on the mice, but whatever it was, right?
My rabbi used to.
But that, which rabbi were you talking about? The second or the first?
Yeah. You know, none of it always realizes, right? You don't realize necessarily. It's not like. Look, some people know they can't answer Nida Shailas. Like the person who taught my wife, Nida, who's, you know, at this point gets probably more Nida Shailas than almost anyone in North America, right? He gets only Nida Shailas that don't relate to Ksamim, sustains, because as big of a Talmud Chacham as he is, no, he's colorblind. Right? He's colorblind, right?
Wait, how is he able to do it when he's colorblind?
He doesn't.
He isn't. This was literally the story he just said. He said that this guy, Dafka, doesn't do that.
He does everything else. He teaches.
He's aware of the rules, but doesn't do it himself.
No, there's a lot of other rules besides. There's a lot of Nida questions that don't have to do with colors.
Yeah, yeah. But the idea of identifying based on color.
Correct. So I'm saying he knows he can't answer Nida Shailas. Right? Rav Barachana, he didn't know that he couldn't answer that day. Maybe he didn't realize how bad his eye was, or maybe there was no one around him. He did his best. I don't know. Come up with whatever you want.
Should get those glasses that supposedly cure color blindness.
Yep, he should. But he doesn't. And this is the story that he's giving.
Okay. I'm just telling you. Okay, fine. Good. So, question one, right? In our sugya was, how many Isurim are there?
In
Tosu, right? Yeah. Shoel and Ishal. So according to the Tosus in Avodah Zarah, how many Isurim?
Two.
According to the Tosus in Nida?
One.
Only on the rabbi. Good. Now let's move to the next question, which is, okay, why is it usher? So, why is it usher for a Shoel to ask, and why would it usher initial?
Tosos said it's disrespectful.
Good. So one possibility is about respect. If it's about respect, it makes sense that it should apply
both ways.
Shoel, initial, and probably also Bein L'Kula, Bein L'Chumran. Who says that right now? Who, like I said, who said it's about Kavod?
Rashi. And
Rashi and Nida. And the Ran. Right? The Ran. Now, the Ran is even more explicit. And he says, Lafich nirli, dafil tov v'shikol adas, machzir n'haraso, bihaskamaso. Right? I mean, the Ran goes through the whole sugya, right? And he comes to the conclusions about Kvod Shel Rishon, right? And therefore, he says, the logical thing is, if it's only about Kavod, So, when is the second rabbi allowed to override the first rabbi? The first rabbi says it's okay. Right. Meaning, if the whole thing is an issue of kavod, so then it makes sense. First of all, 1 second. If it's all about kavod, so first of all, it makes sense that it's usher for the rabbi and for the shoel.
Right.
It makes sense that it goes bein l'kula, bein l'chumra.
Uh-huh.
And it makes sense that you can get a new psak if
the rabbi says,
as long as the rabbi, the first rabbi,
so
is okay with it.
The rabbi, well,
what's the whole
okay
question? Why are these Surya?
What do you mean, what's the whole question?
No, it's logic that you need an askama from another rabbi.
No, it's not, it's logical. Not. It's not at all logical. Right? Why should I need that askama? Do I need, if I go to two doctors and get a second opinion,
yeah,
is it logical the second doctor needs to ask the first doctor?
No,
no, so why is it obvious to you in halacha? If you think, right, it's if you think halacha is like medicine, right, that there's a best answer out there and you're looking for it, right, it's not obvious that there should be a requirement of honor. Why should I respect the first guy? I'm looking for the best answer. Whoever gives me the best answer, I'll listen to. Why does the second person have to wait to get permission from the first person to give an answer? That
doctors
makes no sense.
Doctors do consult each other.
They consult each other, but it's not. You're not doing it for the.
And if they don't, they have a taina.
But no, when they look at your medical chart, they see what doctor will they diagnose you before.
Yes, so they call up that doctor, but they're not asking for the honor. Like, may I please do this? That's not what they're asking. They're asking, like,
right?
Why?
I mean, it's not obvious, right?
Yeah,
if you think there's one answer,
the worst thing.
It's not obvious that you need permission.
The second guy to override the first. If you got the outcome from the first.
That's exactly the point. It's not obvious. The Gemara has to tell you. Right? Meaning, listen, according to Tosvos, guys, listen. According to Tosvos, right? According to Tosvos, there's only one right answer. And that's why it's not at all obvious that I need to.
Everyone else can do that. I can't.
That I need to get permission. Right? It doesn't make sense. I mean, I take it back. It's not that it doesn't make sense, but it's not obvious. Right? The Gemara is Chiddush. Now, according to Tosfos, based on Rashi, why is it usher to get a second opinion? Why is it usher to go kula or chum rapping?
Because you didn't get permission from the first rabbi.
Right? Respect. It's a respect issue.
Right.
How do you solve respect issues?
Get the askama.
Get askama or tell him what's going on. Don't
respect
go behind his back.
You just said about going from lenient to strict.
Both ways. It's disrespectful both ways.
Oh, okay, fine.
Right? Presumably, it would go both ways. Okay, good.
But is that...
Right? Now, the Ron...
Those are the Yisurim for
right?
The second.
Now, before the Ron got to this conclusion, though, right? The Ron raises the Ron.
What? I don't understand. What is he getting?
What's who getting at?
No, what is the Gemara getting at about the whole?
The Gemara is telling you why you can't ask a second opinion in Pesach.
Okay.
That's a big deal.
Okay.
That's a big. What do you mean? What's it getting at? This is one of the most fundamental sugyas in all of Shas about Pesach, right? The Gemara is telling you that halacha, you cannot just go ask a second opinion.
Okay.
Right? That's not obvious. That's not true in most areas of knowledge. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, why is it important? What's it getting at? It's telling you all your assumptions about asking for opinions are not true about halacha.
I think Max has a question.
Yes, Max. The Gemara is an intergenerational conversation, right? It's not a record necessarily of actual conversations, right?
Opinions are usually earlier. The further you get, the opinions
are
usually earlier. No?
Not necessarily. It depends. Sometimes it's Brisa, then Gemara, and Amora, sometimes not. Okay. Now, the Ron, before he gets to his conclusion, right? Before he gets to his conclusion, quotes the Raifid. And the Raifid says it's different. It's different. What does the Ron quote the Raifid as saying? Why can't you ask another Shaila? Why? Because of a Raifid. What does the Raifid say? Come on. You guys started the Ron?
Oh, yeah. We looked at it, yeah.
So you started it. Good. So he starts off with the Raifid. The Ron says, because of a Raifid. What does he say?
The Raifid says that... do you want me to read it inside or just explain it out? Alright, Delo Mishim Kavodah Shal Rishon Gauba, Ela Mishim Dekeven Da Asur Rishon Shavit Hatir Da Asura. Basically, once the first guy says this thing is Asur, it becomes Asur, so it doesn't matter what anyone else says.
Good. Now there's a phrase. So hold that thought for a second. There's a phrase that appears many times in Shas. Okay? Mm-hmm. Called Shavye Anafshe Chaticha Di Isura. What does Shavye Anafshe Chaticha Di Isura mean?
Something with your soul.
Right. Shavye Anafshe, he made it for himself, for his own life. Chaticha Di Isura.
An usher thing.
An usher thing. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's like the following, right? So for example.
Like Minhagim.
No, not like Minhagim. No, not like Minhagim.
No?
No.
Ooh,
no.
So once the rabbi
so what's Shavya? One second. What's Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Isura? Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Isura is as follows, right? A guy comes in and says, the Beis Din has no evidence that I am married. But I am married to Rachel. Mm-hmm. Right? So is Reuven now allowed to marry Leah, Rachel's sister?
Why not?
Because there's an Isser D'oraisa to marry two sisters. Right?
Wait, what?
Right, Reuven is married to Rachel.
Right.
Right? Now the question is, can he also marry Leah, Rachel's sister? Right?
Reuven marrying Leah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, but that was before the Torah, and that's the whole question. Right? But you're not allowed to be married to two sisters.
Right.
Okay? But, one second. But the court doesn't know that. The only way that the court knows that Reuven is married is because Reuven admitted it.
Right.
So, why is it that he can't come to the court and say, let me marry Leah? You don't know that I'm married to Rachel. Right? You don't know that I'm married to Rachel, so why do you care if I marry Leah?
He's already said it.
Correct. That's called Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Isura. Is I admitted that I'm married to Rachel. If I'm married to Rachel, I can't marry Leah.
Right.
Good. So the Ron...
this rabbi, whether it's Asur, Pater, or Asur.
And he'll say, well, according to your own words, it's Asur. Shavye Anafshe Chaticha Di Isura.
Right.
You have made it for yourself, Asur.
No, she described the case. She never said it's Pater or Asur.
Yeah, but by your own statement, you have made it Asur to marry the second woman.
Wait, what do you say to make it Asur?
Because you said you're married to Rachel. If you're married to Rachel, you can't marry Leah also.
But that's not what it's saying. It's like...
No. Before we get back here. Good. Now, coming to our sugya. So the Ravid says it's Asur to ask a second Shaila because Shavye Chaticha Di Isura.
Once you get that...
Now, what word is missing?
Nafshe.
So there is a machlokes in terms of what the Ravid is actually saying. Right? Now, the Acharnim get this wrong. Right? A lot of the Acharnim get this wrong because they miss the nuance here. Right? A lot of Acharnim say what the Ravid must be saying is... Shavye.
Not sure.
Well, so here's the question. Is the Ravid saying, right, here's the key. The Ravid clearly says it's not about kavod, it's not a respect issue, it's about creating Isser.
Right.
Good. Who created the Isser? What are the two possibilities?
The rabbi or she did.
Right, the rabbi or the shoel.
Right.
Now play it out for me. What do both mean?
If she created the Isser, it's Isser for her.
Only her.
It's only her, and why? Because? Because
she took it upon herself.
Good. Hold that thought. Right? She took it upon herself, meaning that according to that formulation, why can't a person ask a second opinion on Psak?
Because she's already made herself awesome.
Because by asking the Shaila, what has she done, or he done? In the case of India, she has
made it up for herself.
How?
By saying...
By taking it upon
herself. By accepting what?
The answer.
The Psak. There you go. By accepting the Psak.
She didn't accept
the... One second. Wait. Right? By accepting the Psak.
Obviously, if she's going to a second opinion, she didn't accept that first Psak.
No, she did. She just doesn't like what she got. And that's exactly the point. If you think it's Shavi Anafshe, so what are you saying? Why can't you go to the second Posek?
Because you have already also.
Because you already accepted the first answer. You don't like it now, then you shouldn't have asked the question.
I have multiple.
What proves she accepted?
How does asking a question accept the question on yourself?
Good question. Hold it for 1 second. Right? Forget it. We'll do it. How would it work? Why would asking a question bind you?
If I say, do I have to wear a hat on Shabbos? Now I have to wear a hat on Shabbos?
So tell me, why would you? Explain to me, why?
If you say usher, if I say yes, then I would have to, because I asked your opinion.
Why'd you go for it? Why'd you go ask in the first place?
That's exactly.
You ask, you have to or you don't.
Right.
So if he says you have to,
then you have to.
Exactly.
Correct.
That's exactly the point.
Correct.
But if the other rabbi says you don't have to, then
it doesn't matter what he
doesn't
says.
Doesn't matter. You asked the first shaila. You didn't want to ask me. You shouldn't have asked me, but you did.
You would have said though.
Too bad. Then you shouldn't ask.
That's how it works.
You don't want to know what I want. What I'm going to say? Don't ask me.
So it's like,
right? That if you say that what the rabbi is saying is shavi anafshe, right? Meaning. Then who created the Isser?
Right.
Yourself.
Yourself.
The guy.
No, the
then,
rabbi.
No, not the rabbi.
You created the Isser on yourself.
Oh.
Why?
You asked.
How do you make the Isser?
One word. Why? One word. One word. How do you make something Isser on yourself? One word.
Chumrah.
Not Chumrah. Stronger than that.
Okay.
No, stronger. Neder, thank you. Right? Vow.
That's not making a neder. That's not saying I'm going to
wear a neder. Yes, it is. It is.
You're not saying I'm going to wear a
neder. Yes, it is.
Why would you go ask if you need to or not?
It's like when you go to the doctor, you're asking multiple doctors.
Why would you go ask?
You're not going to listen to that first doctor if you go to the second doctor.
So clearly there's a difference in what they believe regarding this.
But, right, it could be that Shimon's right. Right? If you think it's Shavi Anafsha, you asked me how would it work. Well, no. Let's play it out. You're right, but hold the thought, right? You're right, just hold it for 1 second. I want to play it out, right? If you think that what's going on is that why can't you ask another shaila because you accepted it,
right?
Then what's the most likely reason that you can't ask another question?
Because you made a neder.
Because you've accepted it, you've committed. It's called a neder, it's called a shvua, really.
Right?
You, by asking, you've entered into a binding relationship,
right?
We know this, you can do that. I can say that this water is ushered to me like treif by making a neder,
right? Yes.
Good. What's the other possibility? Let me just play this out, then I'll take your question. What's the other possibility?
That
right? Being medayik. What is the Ravid? What is the Ron? How does the Ron quote it? A nafshe or not? What does he add? What word does he take out? Good.
It's on the rabbi.
This has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, so play it out.
The rabbi says it's usher. It's the rabbi saying, it's the rabbi giving you the psak.
More than that. It's not just giving psak. Think about the strength of the words he's using.
He's giving you the halacha.
No.
There's only one answer.
No.
Giving you his opinion.
No, not at all one
Why?
Answer.
It's multiple answers.
Shavye. What does Shavye mean?
Oh, okay, fine. So.
What does Shavye mean?
Equal.
He made it equal.
He made it equal.
Meaning,
fine, so.
He turned it into Isser.
So, right.
He's the only
who?
One
who did it.
The rabbi.
So there are three.
So you accepting it?
Correct. There are three possibilities in the sugya. One is Rashi, which Tosfos holds, which is why can't you ask another shaila?
Kavod.
And according to him, who's the Isser on?
The you.
Both.
The mush.
Both.
Right.
Remember both.
Right. Rashi.
Tosfos and Avodah Zarah thinks both. Possibility two is who's it on?
The rabbi.
Right, sorry. Why is it binding? Sorry, I asked the wrong question. Why is it binding? Possibly two.
Because
you committed it. Who should the problem primarily be for?
You.
Yeah. Right? The other possibility is?
It's on the rabbi.
That why can't you ask another opinion? Because the rabbi, and we have to explore this, has made it usher, and therefore the other rabbi?
Doesn't matter.
Can't.
Right.
Good.
Well, yeah.
Let me prove to you. Let me just prove one thing, then I'll take your question, Mark. I'm sorry I'm holding you. Let me prove to you, right? The Ravid himself seems to have held which formulation? That it's a neder or that it's the rabbi making it usher? Good. So did you get to the
No,
okay, so you didn't get the Meiri. So let me read you a shocking Meiri. Right? Okay, but first tell me, what is the most radical position you could possibly come up with if you thought that Psak is binding because of Neder? The single most radical formulation of that.
Radical meaning?
Meaning, let's say, let's play it out. If you say that the reason I can't change my mind once I've asked a Shaila is because I've made a Neder... Mm-hmm. Right? What is the most radical possible nafkamina to that question? Even if what?
Even if the rabbi says it's wrong.
Perfect. Perfect. Even if the rabbi changes his mind, you can't change yours because you've accepted his old answer. Who holds that?
The Meiri
in the name of the Ravid. The Meiri says that the Ravid held l'fi ha-Ravid. Af im chazer ha-rishon.
So the Ravid doesn't hold that it's on the rabbi, he holds it's on you. So
the way the Ravid is quoted by the Meiri
right.
is that the reason Psak is binding is because of Neder.
Right.
So much does he believe this that even if the rabbi backs out of it.
So the Ron quotes the Meiri different than. Quotes the Riven.
Correct.
Wait, but what did you ask in the first place of the rabbi?
big deal.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
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 Let's say you ask the rabbi.
So then it's so that's a good question. That's a very good question. You tell me, what's the answer?
I don't know.
You tell me, you've been doing the sugya. What's the answer?
It's not binding.
Correct. Absolutely. Right? Max is 100% correct. That all of this is only true if you ask a shayla. And what does a shayla mean?
Not hypothetical.
Not hypothetical. Practical guidance.
Statement.
Correct.
I'm not sure.
Hey, just asking for a friend here, but...
Yeah. Like, so-and-so.
Then your friend has to accept it upon yourself.
No, but the friend might not even exist.
I know.
That's
so here, let me give you another wild nafkamina that I once had, okay? This is one of my favorite nafkaminas to this question ever. Okay? Let's say you ask a shayla from somebody, and you mean to take it as psak, but the person you're asking didn't think they were giving psak.
Oh geez, yeah, that happens.
It happens all the time.
Yeah,
right.
Sometimes
right?
you they decide they're going to give you the strict sheet or something,
right, or whatever. Right. The case I had was as follows. Right. You know, in general, yotzot halacha. Right. Right. What's your yotzot? Come on, remember I've told you this a few times. Like my wife. Right, you said halacha. Right,
She knows the topic
and about nida specifically. So the general rule of yotzot halacha, that their official party line, is that they don't paskin. They are they're yoates. They give you halachic advice. That's the party line, right?
She's not a posek, but she's a
correct, yes. Right? Because most halacha questions you ask don't require actual psak,
right?
Right, it's just that you're not knowledgeable, right? Meaning. It's not called psak. If you don't know the halacha, but the halacha is clear and I just tell you what the halacha is, that's not halachically psak. Psak requires that I'm making...
Like you actually have a question about what happened in your kitchen and now you need
to... Right, I'm making an actual... Right, it's not clear what the halacha is and I'm making a decision. So that's the party line. So what happens, right, if... This is what happened to me once, right, is that we had a nida question and we asked a yoetzet, okay? Now... Yotzot, most of them, when they give you advice, what do they view? Donnie, you like this shayla. This was a great shayla. I asked this to Rabbi Willig once. This was my favorite shayla ever on this sugya. Right? We asked a shayla to Yotzot, and the Yotzot said, oh, sir. Right? But I thought it was... I disagreed. I thought it was mutter. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Here was the shayla. Yotzot don't view themselves as paskening. But we were asking because we wanted an answer. Does the answer of Chacham Echad Sha'aser apply when the person... I asked Rabbi Willig this once, right? If you ask Yoetzet and the Yoetzet herself doesn't think she's Paskin, she's being Yoetz, right? She's being Mitya Etzet, whatever, right? And therefore... Right, she didn't view it as psak. She viewed it as
that's what the halacha.
Right, conveying etza or conveying psak, and then you disagree. Are you allowed to go to another person for a different opinion? What does it hang on? So what does it hang on? You tell me why not. If it's about a neder.
Oh,
so then,
another, then you can't go to another.
Then even though the person answering the question didn't think it was binding,
right?
You thought it was binding, and therefore you can't ask.
Right. But if it's on the...
But if it's about the rabbi, not Shavye Anafshe,
then you could go to...
But Shavye Chaticha Disura, meaning the koach isn't in your hands,
it's in the rabbi's
hands.
Right.
So then if the person didn't think they were poskening,
then you could go to another.
They can't, right? Willick told me. He said, be medayeg. We don't paskin like the Ravid in the Meiri. We paskin like the Ravid, as quoted in the Ran. That it's possibility not two, but possibility three.
Right. Okay.
Meaning?
It's on the rabbi's.
Correct. Right? So now there's, right? It's Shavye.
You ask another rabbi.
Correct. Because
what if you...
Shavye, Chatzina, Yisur. So what's... So now let's play out possibility three.
What if
you
ask the rabbi?
So he equated it with... So what's...
What if I ask the rabbi, do I have to wear a hat on Shabbos? And he says, no. Do I have to wear a hat on Shabbos?
No.
But I asked the question. It's a neder.
No, neder to listen to his answer. His answer was no. Right.
It's not about asking the question and then doing the thing.
Right. So now, right? So Willick told me. He said, "Wait a second. Be careful." Yes, he should live down. He lives down the block from you. It should sound familiar.
Yeah.
Right. That Rabbi Willick, that one, the one who has who's the rabbi of the Young Israel of Riverdale, but also Rosh Shiva at YU.
Oh, he
lives in 230.
He lives in North Riverdale.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
No, he lives. Oh. He lives like a few blocks. He lives
those
right near the shul.
Listening
right near the Young Israel of Riverdale.
I live a bit.
Okay, fine. Anyways, not the point. Really, not the point. But Rabbi Willick said, "Rabbi Willick said, be careful." Right. The Meiri hold that is possibility two, but now we have to explore possibility three, which is that the Isser isn't on the why is it Isser to add another opinion? Because what?
Because it's a Ned, it might be a Ned.
Not a Ned there, that's possibility two, what's possibility three? So explain to me. Now you have the words, Shavi Chaticha Yisura. Please interpret those words for me. What could it possibly mean? Right. If it's not about respect and it's not about neder, then what is it? What is the word shavi chadichat yisura? What could they possibly mean?
Can you say that in English so we could?
What could it possibly mean to say that the reason the second rabbi can't weigh in is because the first rabbi shavi chadichat yisura?
What is that phrase?
He made it a piece of Isser. He made it prohibited. What would that mean? If it's not neder, it's not respect. What does it mean?
Is that the thing of going from strict to lenient?
We haven't yet talked
about whether it goes to strict to lenient, but we'll keep it.
What do you mean? It's like, that's what the rabbi paskin. That's the answer. Like,
good. So explain that to me. Why is that binding?
Because that you asked that rabbi his opinion. You asked his.
So what?
You asked him.
If it's not a neder, it's not about your commitment, then what is it?
It's what the rabbi answers.
And why is that important?
Because you asked that rabbi his personal.
So what?
What the halacha is.
So what?
What do you mean, so what? You could have asked any other rabbi.
But you do
went to this rabbi.
So why is that important?
You wanted his answer.
What do you mean, why is that important?
Tell me, why does that mean I can't ask somebody else?
Because you wanted this rabbi's answer. You didn't want someone else's answer.
So what? If it's not neder, that's back to neder that I committed to listening to you. But if it's not about your commitment, then what is it?
Trust. And it's not respect.
If it's not about respect and it's not about commitment, then what is it?
I gotta think this.
Just translate like those three words. So Shavye, Chaticha. Yeah, explain to me.
Now it's Usur or the Meiri
said? Like, if that recorder I went and asked, is this Usur or Mutter? He said it's Usur, so I can't even touch it anymore. There's no more question. No, there's no one else to ask.
Why?
So you have to listen to him.
Why?
Because it's not neder. They should all agree. Accept it as it's Usur.
Why?
There's only one answer. They should all agree, right?
There's multiple.
It's not. There's not one answer.
He said there are multiple answers.
And what did the rabbi do?
Took one answer.
And what did the psak do?
Take one answer. Make it one answer.
Yes, it made it Usur. Meaning what?
He made one answer.
Now it's
Usur. He took one answer.
And it wasn't before.
Right.
Right? That's this crazy. The Ron implies this in the name of the Ravid, but the Ritva, who we'll have to see, says it explicitly.
If it's not neder, it doesn't make a difference. Because if he says it's Usur, if you say it's Usur and Rabbi Ginsburg says it's not Usur, then it doesn't matter whether it was Usur.
No, so that's what I'm asking. So why would it matter?
It wouldn't.
Why would it? I'm not asking why wouldn't it. I'm asking why would it.
Why would it matter?
Yes.
That you said it's Usur.
How? Please, pray tell. Explain that to me. Pray tell. Explain it to me. How could it be, right, if it's not about respect, and if it's not about commitment, then what makes the rabbi's psak binding? You've said he made it Usur. How in God's name could he have made it Usur? How?
They don't know yet.
What do you mean you don't know yet?
When things at the time were being invented for this new concept of electricity.
Forget that. Forget a new Shiloh.
Rabbeim didn't know what to do.
Forget a new question. Forget a new question.
When you go to that rabbi.
It's something new.
Rabbi, when you go to that rabbi, you don't know that you're going to go to that other a second rabbi.
Come on. Push yourselves.
You don't.
What? Give me the most radical explanation you could think of.
To what?
Mind.
Wait,
I
just got really confused. Can you?
Possibility one.
Right. Respect.
Respect. Possibility two. Commitment. Neder.
Who said commitment? By the way.
What? The Ravid is understood by the Meiri. right? And Nemuke Yosef, I wrote it for you on the sheet, says it explicitly. Kevan Sheshal Mimenu Tchila, since you asked the first rabbi first, Gamar Bilibo Lasot Kachal Sheiruoto, you've committed to listen to whatever he says.
Right, and we said it's
so
not.
So that means that you place your trust in the rabbi.
Right,
you must listen
right.
To
that's
he
the
says.
That's neder essentially.
Right. We said it's not neder.
Or so, but what else could it be? So now tell me.
Well,
remember
placing,
what question did I start
said,
with?
You said by placing trust in the rabbi, is it a neder? You said by placing your trust in the rabbi, is it a neder?
So the Ravid in me seems to say it's an Eder, that when I ask a Shaila, I'm committing to listen to what you say.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why I have to do it, because I said I was going to do it. But if it's not about commitment, then what is it?
Oh, it's about going from Chumra to Lenient.
Come on. Come on. Push yourselves. Remember, what did I say? Right? There's something lurking in the background here, which is... How, Shimon, how could it make any sense that... Let me put it differently. Does a rabbi make something else, sir?
No.
Halacha makes
so you think no. Halacha makes it aser.
Right.
What is the Ritva, as we'll
the rabbi
see.
Is going off of
as we'll see what the Ritva says wrong. You think halacha makes something aser? Wrong. The Rav does make it aser.
Legislated.
It's wrong. No, wrong. Not legislation.
Wait, what? You can't. A Rav can't go out of his own control power. To
yes, he can.
Go against halacha.
Incorrect.
But he can't go against halacha.
He has to follow like some posting then.
Nope.
No, but he can't.
No.
Nope. He can't go. With
nope. Nope, nope. The Ritva says it's not true.
He can go against
he can't
halacha.
Just go Rav Zirin.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Yeah, the halacha makes it usher.
No.
No. The rabbi just relays
the
halacha.
Wrong. Halacha doesn't make it usher. According to the Ritva, we'll see. You didn't get the Ritva yet. So this is what tomorrow.
Where's the rabbi getting?
Listen, listen.
Where's the rabbi getting his pesach off of halacha?
Wrong.
He's getting pesach from the Torah.
He's creating it. He's not getting it from anywhere. He's creating it.
Oh, so this he's not a Yovetzer Halacha. He's not.
Tell me why. Tell me why. This is what you're going to see tomorrow. So this is what you have to see tomorrow in the Ritva, okay? You guys didn't do the Ritva yet.
Why he's not getting it off of Halacha?
He's getting it out of Halacha, but it... What?
It's the Shekel Das thing. Where it's
the Ritva tells you explicitly. Right? The Ritva is going to tell you explicitly. Remember what I said? Tosos assumes the whole thing. Why does Tosos... What drives Tosos to say the entire sugya is about honor?
Because it's one answer.
Because he thinks there's one right answer.
Right. But there's multiple answers.
No,
but if there are multiple right answers up in Shamayim, then what makes one of them binding?
The one that the rabbi said.
Sock. Or in other words, and you'll see this, tomorrow I want you to read the Ritva very carefully because you're going to see that the Ritva is radical. Sure. The Ritva says the reason Sock is binding is not because of Kavod, it's not because you committed, it's because in God's court,
it's
neither Usher nor Mutter until
the rabbi says
the rabbi says it. And once the rabbi says it,
uh-huh.
It becomes usher.
How do we?
And you can't ask another rabbi why.
That is
you're going
so
trippy. It's
yeah,
trippy.
That is.
But you have to see the Ritva inside. I didn't even get to it yet, so I want. So I'm going to hold off and going into it in depth.
In God's
but tomorrow,
court, it's not.
Right, I want you to see the Ritva I gave you. The Ritva here on Zion.
Halacha isn't based off.
Okay,
of
okay.
God's,
here's
I'm
what I'm
going to
do. Okay, we have 3 minutes. Okay, so let me read you a different Ritva I didn't give you yet because I wanted to hold off on this Ritva.
Okay,
okay?
So
this is the Ritva in Erevin. What?
Why are we jumping ahead?
Well, I'm going to give you the Ritva you need to understand the Ritva here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, two lines. The Ritva in Erevin Yud Gimel says when the Gemara says Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, right? That both of these are the words of God,
right?
Right. Both, even if there's machlokes. Shalu Rabbeinu Tzarfatzal. Bali Tosfot asked. This is the Tosfot in Rabbeinu Peretz. Heyach Efshar Shushneim Divrei Elokim Chayim. Zeh Oser V'Zeh Matir. I don't understand. What does that? What do those words even mean? How could it be that both the words of God, if they say opposite things, right? How is it both Oser and Mutter at the same time?
Right.
Right? That doesn't make sense.
Different rabbis interpreting.
So he says, Vitertsu, what was their answer? Kikshala Moshe Lemaron Lekabel Torah. When Moshe went up to heaven to get the Torah, Heru Lo Al Kol Davar V'Davar, Hashem himself showed him for every Shaila, Memtet Panim Leisur, Memtet Panim Leheter. 49 ways of explaining why it's Mutter, and 49 why it's Asur. V'Sha'ala Kadosh Baruch Hu Alzeh. And Moshe turned to God and said, what?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
It's a show. It's multifaceted. But that's
no,
against
no.
Oh, it depends.
It's against Tosfos
for
sure.
The
Amar and God told him no. That's what you would say. The Amar sheyhe ze masur lechachmei Yisrael shebechol dor vador. If the Torah is given over to the Chachamim in each generation, v'yehe hachra'ak motam, and the Psak will be as they decide. V'nachonu l'fi adrash u'v'derech amet yesh tam v'sod v'davar. This is the truth, and there's a secret to it.
But where does this allow?
Right, the Ritva says so something very trippy.
Derech laws are interpreted different ways by different rabbis,
and they're both right.
But what I don't find.
And why can't you ask a shaila again? You're going to have to see this tomorrow in the Ritva. We're going to do it in depth tomorrow. According to the Ritva.
Because whichever answer you get, that's the one that the rabbi...
Meaning,
that's
before you ask the shayla, this food was neither kosher nor treif.
Right, now once you ask...
It was both, or neither. By asking the shayla, what did you do?
You
allowed the rabbi to do what?
Bring down the
down a new metaphysical reality onto
like this.
What?
I don't like it.
Well, you're gonna see the Ritva tomorrow, but it's the trippiest Ritva ever.
I don't like this.
You can't just have like zero now doesn't make sense.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.